grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen. Our text for this morning is from the Epistle of St. Jude, the third and fourth verses. Beloved, being very eager to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For admission has been secretly gained by some who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly persons who pervert the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I doubt that anyone would disagree with me when I say that we find ourselves living in very unsettled days. But so were our Christian forebears, who on this 25th day of June in the year of our Lord 1530, 493 years ago today, presented the confession of their faith to the Emperor Charles V in the city of Augsburg. Then, as now, both church and state were unsettled and fraught with danger. The emperor had summoned the princes and representatives of certain cities of his empire to meet in Augsburg for two reasons. First, because the Turk, the militant Islam of that day, had in fact reached the gates of Vienna and were threatening Christian Europe with fire and sword. And second, because the empire was troubled by the religious controversy which had broken out in the wake of Martin Luther's call to repentance, his call to return to the truth of Holy Scripture, the written word of God. Now, the Emperor Charles was a pious Christian, and he earnestly desired a resolution of the religious controversy so that his empire might present a united front against the militant Islam of that day. The Emperor Charles wanted a united church in the united empire. And so late in the afternoon of June the 25th, seven Lutheran princes, together with representatives of the cities of Nuremberg and Reutlingen, presented the confession of their faith to the emperor and all the estates of the empire that had come together in Augsburg. The Lutheran princes and cities hoped that this confession of their faith would be recognized and accepted, not as some new and strange teaching, but as nothing more and nothing less than a faithful confession of the faith once delivered to the saints, a confession of faith firmly grounded in Holy Scripture, a confession expressing the one faith of the one church as expressed in the Creed, a confession centering in the joyful truth of the gospel, the good news, that in the life and the death and the resurrection of his Son, God has done all that needed to be done to save sinners has overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, and freely gives this precious treasure of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation through holy baptism, through the preaching of this good news, through the word of holy absolution, and through the sacrament of Christ's true body and blood. Although this confession was presented to the emperor, those who remained loyal to the Bishop of Rome refused to recognize it as bearing witness to the truth, the faith, once delivered to the saints. And so the religious controversy continued, and the division within the church has continued down to the present day. But as we see already in the New Testament scriptures themselves, Christ's church has always been plagued with controversy and division, both because of our human frailty and weakness, and because of the craftiness and assaults of the devil. Already in the time of the apostles, Saint Jude wrote, as we heard in our text, of ungodly persons who pervert the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. It was Luther's co-worker Philip Melanchthon, the author of the Augsburg Confession, who in his hymn for St. Michael's Day says of Satan, "It always is his aim and pride the Christian people to divide." And that is why we pray to the Holy Spirit, as we did in the hymn we just sang, "Lord, by the brightness of your light, in holy faith your church unite. From every error keep us free. Let none but Christ our master be, that we in living faith abide, in him our Lord with all our might confide. In him our Lord with all our might confide." We all know the story of the disciples in their boat on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee, and of how the Lord Jesus was fast asleep in the boat. In their terror, the disciples woke him, saying, "Save us, we are perishing." The church has often been compared to that boat on the storm-tossed sea. And at times, it seems as if the Lord has fallen asleep on us. But as the psalmist says, "He is the keeper of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps." And who, as he once did there on the stormy sea, still rebukes the wind and waves, and there is a great calm. Long centuries before, the psalmist had prayed, "He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." So, as we shall sing of the church in our closing hymn, through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, She waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Amen.